Be strong in all your encounters with life. Face the world with courage. Have faith and act morally and stay strong. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, how can we be strong in all of our encounters with life? How can we face the world with courage? How can we have faith and act morally and stay strong? Well, Kenneth says we can be strong by appreciating and apprehending the great outcome of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Hello, everyone. It's really great to be with you once again for another time of refreshing. We are now in the third part of a series on knowing God. And in the first two messages, we considered what it means to be still, and that is about knowing God's will. And in this message and the next, we are going to consider what it means to be strong, and that is about knowing God's power. And for this study, we are mainly going to be in the book of Ephesians. As a bridge and a link to what we considered in the first two parts about knowing God's will, it's interesting and significant to note that Paul says right from the very first verse of this letter to the Ephesians something about the will of God. He begins this great letter as follows, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Notice how central the will of God is to Paul in his life and ministry. He introduces himself as not just an apostle, but as an apostle by the will of God. His focus was not just on his calling, but in relation to God who called him, that is to the will of God. He operated on that basis. He traced everything back down to the will of God. That is for him the great first cause of his life. And there are no second causes as far as he is concerned. Can that be said of your life and mine too? Whatever you may think of yourself as doing or imagine yourself as being, can you say that it is in the will of God? This is in an active sense, not in a passive sense. We look at the will of God as a designation rather than with resignation, just as Paul did. With that introductory note and comment, let me move on to read from chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We find Paul writing and saying many things, especially in the book of Ephesians, in great long sentences, as if he had so much to say that is overflowing from his heart that he could not afford to stop and catch his breath. So it's a good and practical thing when reading Ephesians to stop from time to time to catch our breath, but more importantly, to catch his train of thought. Now, what we have read in these three verses from Ephesians 1, 15 to 17, is Paul praying that God may give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that is, of Jesus Christ. And then in the next two verses, 18 and 19, he spells out in particular three things he wants them to know, three what's. And there are three post-resurrection revelations that constitute this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's read on from verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and here is the first what, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And then the second one, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And then the third one in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? So there we are, three what's, three things arising from the resurrection of Jesus Christ that he wanted them to know, which will contribute to the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now let's look briefly at each of them in turn. The first one is about His calling. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. This refers to the fact that we have been saved and called out of this world to be His own special people. So calling refers to the salvation of believers in Jesus Christ. So this is about our spiritual beginnings. It's our salvation, but it's not the be-all and the end-all. It's beginning with an end in view. That is why it is called the hope of His calling. And always remember that Christian hope means a certainty rather than a possibility. So our calling and salvation is sure and certain because it is based on the One who has called us. And faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. So this is the first thing, His calling. And it's hopeful, it's from the beginning, and it's about your place on the earth. This is where we are to fulfill our calling faithfully. Now the second thing He mentioned is about His inheritance. The second part of Ephesians 1:18. That you may know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is about His inheritance, and it's going to be rich and glorious. It's something for the future, and it's about your place in heaven. We're going to be joint heirs with Christ. This is not all there is to it. There's something that is going to be far more wonderful that is to come. So we should live our lives in the light of that glorious inheritance that is to come, so that what we do on earth now is a preparation for heaven. And thirdly, He talks about His power in verse 19. And to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. And what about His power? It is exceedingly great or surpassingly great. It's for the present, and it's about our path in life. He enables and empowers us with what it takes to live this life in such a way that it is becoming and befitting of our calling and our inheritance. There are quite a few things mentioned in this verse 19 in relation to His power, so we're going to take a little bit more time on that. But here are the three things or the three whats to know. Number one, His calling, which is hopeful. It's from the beginning and it's about your place on the earth. Number two, His inheritance, that's rich and glorious. It's for the future and it's about your place in heaven. And number three, His power, and it's exceedingly great. This is something for the present and it's for your path in life. But notice in particular the nature of this power that is at work in us, both in verses 19 and 20. It is first described as the exceeding greatness. In other words, it's something that is beyond, it surpasses whatever we can think of or imagine or know. And that's simply because of the source of that power. It is the power of God. It's not our or man's power. Well, it says the exceeding greatness of His power. I want you to notice for a moment that the word that is translated in the English as power here is from the word in the Greek called dunamis, which means the ability to accomplish things. So in other words, He gives us the ability to accomplish things. In fact, we have at our disposal great power to accomplish great things for God. Now, dunamis is one of the very commonly used words throughout the New Testament for power, in the sense of ability to accomplish. And the same root has given rise to a number of other English words. For example, dynamite. But that's not such a good example because of the connotation with destructive powers. Another English word that has the same root is dynamo, and I think that is a far better example because it gives the right connotation in the spiritual sense. You know what a dynamo does, right? It generates electrical power. And one of the characteristics of a dynamo is this. It certainly doesn't make as much explosive noise as dynamite, but it just quietly but consistently, continuously goes on and it generates power all the time. And this is the important sense in which we must understand that the power or the ability in the Lord Jesus Christ is made over and available to us. quietly, continuously, and consistently as we walk with Him. This is brought out especially in the next two words in the same verse. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Notice that that is in the present continuous tense. It's not only for those who have believed, but those who keep on believing. And as we continue to walk in faith, that is what it means, we will experience this power, this dunamis or ability that is in Christ. And then notice this last part of verse 19. It's according to the working of His mighty power. Again, it is His power and not ours. But here, I would like to point out that the word that is translated into the same English word in many versions as power is actually a different word in the original Greek. It's the word kratos, which really means strength, compared to the earlier power, which is dunamis or ability to accomplish. But this is really beautiful and complementary because He gives us great ability as well as mighty strength. And we need both His ability as well as His strength in order to do all things well, even as Jesus did. Well, if I were to ask you, can you take on this assignment? You would have to ask yourself whether, first of all, you would have the skills needed. But you will also need to ask yourself whether you have the stamina that is needed to complete it. So you need both skills, the ability, as well as the stamina or the strength. And that is the idea behind dunamis as well as kratos. But together, they tell us what it means to be strong. That is to know God's power, both in the sense of ability as well as strength. And Paul goes on to describe the nature of this mighty power in verse 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now what Paul is stating here is the great outcome of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are all to appreciate and to apprehend this. It's the same resurrection power that was at work in Christ, which is also to be ours in experience for those who believe in His death and resurrection. As God worked in Christ, so He will work in us through Christ. We are meant to live the resurrection life. You remember Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, when her brother Lazarus was dead in the tomb, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And again, it's the same continuing present tense of believing. If we have believed and we keep on believing in the risen Lord, we shall experience the power of His resurrection in our lives. This is something very fundamental that we need to have a firm grasp of. If you are not going to live a defeated Christian life, if you are not going to run on empty, it is not about trying your best to live the Christian life, to live up to an ideal. If you have been trying to do that, you will pretty soon get defeated and frustrated and disillusioned because it can't be done. You cannot live the Christian life, the Christ life, without the power of Christ in you. But here is good news. He Himself has given us the same resurrection life and power so that we can do it through His strength and His power and His ability and not on our own. Remember, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. So don't go looking for power or ability or strength elsewhere. Look for Jesus Christ and you will have them. Now let me move on from the first chapter to the final chapter 6 of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So just as he started out in the first chapter talking about these things, we find Paul going back to and reiterating what he had begun with in the first chapter. So his last word or final word is the same as his first words. He says, finally, in other words, he's about to wrap up. And he goes back to the same basic points, which is to be strong in His strength and power. And we are not to neglect or underestimate or forfeit the great victory and power made available to us through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find a very similar pattern in the next letter that he wrote to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 1, we have this same wrap-up word, finally, my brethren. And then down in verse 10 of chapter 3 of Philippians, he says something along the same lines, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So it's also about knowing the power of God. But notice something else. It is said in the same breath in conjunction with the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So if you want to know the power of his resurrection, we have also to know the fellowship of his sufferings. To know Christ is to experience both the cross and the resurrection. The more I share in his sufferings, the more I know of his power. This is what William Penn, the founder of the modern state of Pennsylvania in the United States, wrote. He wrote a book when he was imprisoned in the Tower of London in 1682, and it's about denying self and taking up and bearing the cross. And it is entitled No Cross, No Crown, and it has often been quoted. But those four simple words say it all, that I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Do you know why it is so vital to be strong in the Lord and to know his power? Well, it has to do with what we considered in the previous two messages about knowing God's will. If the most important thing in life is to realize and live out God's will for us, then the most direct and determined challenge by the devil in life will be to thwart, to undermine, and to prevent the fulfillment of God's will in our lives. You can expect that. The popular and excellent devotional book by Oswald Chambers is called My Utmost for His Highest. But you know what I think Satan will do? He will try to do his utmost for our lowest, to keep us from doing God's highest will. Doing God's will entails a spiritual conflict from first to last. And let us not naively expect anything less. In fact, this is what Oswald Chambers said concerning the law of antagonism. He said, life without war is impossible, either in nature or in grace. The basis of physical, mental, moral, and spiritual life is antagonism. This is an open fact of life, and morally, it is the same. Everything that does not partake of the nature of virtue is the enemy of virtue in me, and it depends on what moral caliber I have, whether I overcome and produce virtue. And immediately I fight, I'm moral in that particular. No man is virtuous because he cannot help it. Virtue is acquired. So this is the reason why we need to be strong and to know his power, because we are constantly living in a spiritual war zone. And that is why at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul did not say he had lived a good and fruitful life, but he said this. This is in his last letter included in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. So there you see, his entire life and ministry has been one great and good spiritual fight. And if our lives are to count for God, we should not expect anything less. But how are we to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Well, back to Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us in the following verses, beginning from verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. We are told to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Now, the devil is a liar and a deceiver from the beginning, and the devil ever comes in various guises and deceptions. In verse 12, we see that spiritual antagonism is woven into the warp and woof of the entire world system in an intricate scheme of things. What are described as principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We need to see beyond the external appearance of things. to the spirit behind those things. And often, things are not merely secular or worldly, as it seems on the outside. Because if they are not of God, then they are anti-God. And I want you to notice the strong reiteration of the exhortation to stand. And not only to stand, but to withstand. And having done all, to stand. First, he says in verse 11 that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. And then secondly, in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And thirdly, in the latter part of verse 13, having done all, to stand. And then the beginning of verse 14, stand therefore. What this means is that we are not only to withstand a single onslaught, but to be able to keep standing in the face of repeated assaults. And the idea is that of a strong tower that remains unvanquished. And this is the whole purpose of being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that we may be able to stand when the first blow comes, and then to withstand when the second blow comes, and then to keep on standing, to stand therefore with all the subsequent blows that may come. I pray you may keep being refreshed by the Lord's presence and to be reached by His word.
I like that final word. We are not only to withstand a single onslaught, but we have to be able to keep standing in the face of repeated assaults. Thank you for that word, Kenneth. And join us again tomorrow when Kenneth brings us part 4 of Knowing God. Right now, though, we'd love to hear from you, and I invite you to get in contact with us. You can send us a text message, 9431-3813. You can send us a letter, the mailing address, Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915714. You can also visit the brand new Times of Refreshing Facebook page. And there you can get the latest updates, you can socialize with the Times of Refreshing fans, and you can give us your views right here on our Facebook page. And I also invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia. There you'll be able to listen to any of the programs, or you can download them to your iPhone or to your MP3 player. By the way, Times of Refreshing has launched its very own iPhone app, and that will allow all users to directly access broadcast messages and podcasts right from their iPhone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.